First John, little John, chapter 3. We have about 45 to 50 ladies who are in the morning discipleship group, and they have memorized the first three verses of this chapter. I would like all of them to stand right now. All of them. All. I'm going to count. And let's start out with behold. Go ahead. Let's hear it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand. Good. Amen. They are learning long passages of Scripture, and I'm just really impressed. I think that's exciting. Amen. The reason we do that is because the Bible says if you hide the Word in your heart, you won't sin against God. And so the more Word that we hide in there, the more presence there is of God, the more that we're present with God. He just loves us to learn these words because Satan will come against us to fool us and to lie to us. Praise God. All right, let's look at 1 John. Behold. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called, this is it, this is the love that we're called sons of God. That's the love right there. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called sons of God. Sons of God. That's it right there. That's the whole thing. That is the basis of the whole Christian walk. You know, I think it's Armstrong. I'm not trying to be negative here, but this man is wrong. Herbert W. Armstrong. He preaches that that someday we'll be saved, but you can't say you're saved now. And I know it was typical in the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church to say, well, you can't say you're already saved. But I'm going to tell you something. You must say it. You must have assurance of your salvation. Now, Lutherans no longer do it, but Luther did. Luther had what he called certitudo, absolute certainty that he was saved. Luther believed in assurance of salvation. And here it is. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God or children of God. Actually, it's Tekna, I've taught you that word, teknon, it's tekna theou, little ones of God. And the word tekna is different than the word paideia. The word tekna means someone who is related to God. So tekna theou, that's us, we're related to God. It has nothing to do with learning or anything like that. It just has to do that we're in relationship. We've been born of God. We're the tekna theou. Behold what manner of love, agape, the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. So the world doesn't know that we're sons of God. You can't tell. We don't wear something under our shirt, you know, like Superman or something that says, see, I really am this. There's no way the world knows that we're sons of God except this, that we love one another. That's the only way the world will ever know you're sons of God. But we are sons of God. We are sons of God, even if we're a little bit slow in showing it. But the world will never know that until you live like lovers, until you actually display it. You can't just say it in faith. I love all my brothers and sisters in faith. Praise the Lord, I know that. But the only way we know that you're really a Christian, the only way that we know and we must know, so that we can say that with assurance, is that God lives in us and loves through us. If God is in you, then sooner or later, and it can take a while, but sooner or later, the love will just begin flowing out of you. In fact, it starts seeping out from day one. I hope it comes as kind of a gusher, in fact. But it'll slow down after a while when you get into the real work, which is getting rid of all that sin that's still residing there. How many know when you become a Christian, all the sin doesn't go right away? Now, even though sin is covered, even though the guilt is removed, even though you have a new heart, there's still sin in your soul. That is, your mind is not renewed, your emotions are not yet renewed, and your will is not yet renewed. There's still sin in you. But you begin to reign over it by keeping your eyes on Jesus. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called. Now, who is it that calls us sons of God? God. God calls us children, technon. He says, you're related to me, you're born of me, and the sign will be that you'll love one another. Now, that has not fully shown up yet, but it's beginning. It's beginning to reign. It's beginning to pour out of us. But it must come out with full effusion. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Now, the world is never going to appreciate the love of God. The world is never going to appreciate that you're sons of God. In fact, the world will resent it. Who do you think you are, you know, calling yourself sons of God, you know? The world won't like it. Nonetheless, God knows what he's doing, and he wants the world to be judged by Christians so that the world can be saved through the Holy Spirit. God wants to set us out as a light, as a standard, as someone that has the sign of holiness, and really holiness is just love. I tell you, holiness is just love. It's not some stiff, puritanical kind of thing. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's self-control. It's goodness. It's gentleness. It's faithfulness. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Love is nothing more than God's nature being exhibited among us. Now, you can't drum that up. Have you ever tried to get love out, you know? Just say, I'm going to be more loving. You know, it doesn't work. You can't press a button and get love to come out. The only thing that makes love come out is when you relax and you put your eye on the Lord, and suddenly in the presence of God, loving thoughts come to you and a loving desire. Suddenly you have a desire. It's exciting. All of a sudden, you know, you never loved, you know, so-and-so before, and all of a sudden, boom, there's all this love in you. And you just feel it. And you're so excited because you didn't have it before. You just suddenly have a desire, an overwhelming, warm desire, and you know it's not something that's going to come and go. You just know it's a once-for-all thing that you have a desire to go and do something for someone or pray for them or whatever God leads. That's the love of God. If you're born again, you will have those experiences. Now, I know Satan is a thief that cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll do everything he can with all of his demon hosts to try to steal that away. Well, praise the Lord. He that's in us is what? Greater than he that's in the world. Are you afraid of the devil? No. Not on your life. Because the devil's a liar. He's a bluff. He's a cheat. He can't do anything. He has no real power. All his power is through lies, through faking you out, same way he did Adam in the garden. So the love of God has been spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. God now calls us sons of God. Let's call ourselves sons of God. Let's say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I will never be more a child of God than I am today. Even should I remove mountains and bear great fruit, God will not love me more. He loves me totally now and has called me son of God. Now, the word technon is translated here, sons of God, but actually it shouldn't be either masculine or feminine, because technon has nothing to do with sex. It has nothing to do with male or female. Technon just means a little child, so it actually should be said here, children of God. And the RSV does correct that. But the King James here says sons of God, which is all right, it's quite proper. But actually, technon, theou, should be translated children of God. And in the Revised Version, many other versions, it does say children of God. We are now children of God, the technon of God, the little children of God. So the world doesn't know us. Now, it doesn't mean the world doesn't know us. It means the world doesn't know us in this sense, that it doesn't have intercourse with us. It doesn't mean the world doesn't know who we are. They know we're Christians and go to church and so on. But it means they don't think like we think, and we don't think like they think, and they don't feel like we feel, and we don't feel like they feel, and they don't act and so on. It means they don't have anything in common with us anymore. You can't You can't make bridges to the world. I'm going to say that again. You can't make bridges to the world. You really can't do it. If anyone ever becomes a Christian, it's for one reason and one reason only. A miracle takes place because the word has been preached, not because bridges are established. Jesus did not establish bridges. He wasn't someone who tried to get on a common ground with somebody. As a matter of fact, he messed up all common grounds. You know, he just went around saying things like, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." You know, that's not a bridge. You know, "You brood of vipers." You know, not much of a bridge builder. You know, if I wanted to witness to a Pharisee, I don't think I'd start out that way if I were a bridge builder. But Jesus really wasn't interested in bridges. He was interested in the truth because the truth sets free. And he loved those Pharisees when he said, "Woe unto you." He was loving them. He was bearing witness to them. He was out to save them. In fact, he died for them. He was on his way to the cross when he said those words. So Jesus is such a lover, but he doesn't try to do anything. He just simply shares whatever God gives him. And the world doesn't know us. The world will never know you. Spiritual things can't be discerned except by spiritual people. So the only thing you can do is tell the old story. It's simple, isn't it? There's nothing tricky about being an evangelist or about sharing the good news. You just go up to someone and tell them about Jesus, whatever he puts on your heart. You can't just pull out of your pocket the four spiritual laws. Now, that may be God's method, but it may not be. Many people have come to Jesus Christ through the four spiritual laws. Therefore, God uses that. But you must ask God, because many people have been turned off equally. You must know the will of God. I'll just tell you this. Jesus didn't have those little booklets printed up. That doesn't mean God doesn't use them, but it does mean don't use them as a standard way of saving people, unless God has given you a specific word on that. But just to simply say, even the Kennedy thing, you know, what would you do tonight if you know, well, praise the Lord. God has used that in multitudes of cases. But don't assume that that's always the will of God. That's a great mistake that Christians make. I tell you, you can get excited about people coming to the Lord. But you know, I believe God wants to do things not just one by one, but I think God wants to move in powerful ways. Hello. He said the harvest is ripe. Now, I know they're going to come one by one, even if it's a crowd. Each one has to make the decision. But I tell you, we haven't seen anything yet. When Jesus went around the first day of the church's life, what, 3,000? Second day, 5,000 more. That's 8,000 in 2 days. Well, we haven't had those kind of meetings. And they went on and on. And those people stayed Christians. They didn't come back a month later and see if they're still Christian or not. No, they stayed because they were really repented and really born again. So we must find out the will of God. But nonetheless, the world won't know you because it knew not him. Beloved, now, noon, are we the sons of God? Unlike what Armstrong says. You know, you can know right now that you're a son of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, in this life, you'll never look like a Christian. Sometimes people say, "Oh, so-and-so, they really are Christian, or they're really serious." You can't tell by looking at people. You know, I think if you'd measure Jesus, you might consider that he wasn't much of a Christian. You know, he doesn't do all the things that sometimes we say people do when they're Christians. We have our own ideas about what Christian is. I think Jesus does the opposite many times of what we think a real Christian is. For example, some people think that being a Christian is being nice. There's no commandment in the Bible, "Be thou nice." You know, there is none. Being nice is not Christian. Being nice. Kind, yes. But how do you know, because nice means always, you know, so pleasant and so on. No, sometimes you have to say, "Whoa." And that's kindness, but it's not being nice. And they may reject what you've said. They may be offended. Remember the disciples came to Jesus once and said, "The Pharisees are offended at what you said." And Jesus said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to offend the Pharisees." No, what he said was, "Every plant that my Father hath not planted will be rooted up." In other words, he offended them all the more. He really wasn't, he just hadn't read his Dale Carnegie that morning. He didn't know how to win friends and influence people. I tell you, Jesus knows what he's doing. It isn't being nice, it's being faithful. Sometimes being nice is sinful. Sometimes it's all right. But again, you can't know just by something human. Now are we the sons of God? It doesn't yet appear, so don't look at yourself. Never take the time to examine yourself for anything serious. You know, just take a quick look and say this and that, and then go on and put your eyes back on Jesus. Don't spend a lot of time, because you'll never look like a saint. You'll never look like a saint in this life. Only when you get to heaven will you look like a saint. Here, we're only asked to act like a saint. You don't have to look like one. You can feel like one, talk like one, walk like one, act like one, but you can't look like one down here. So don't judge. Because if you try to judge, you're going to be you'll misunderstand. Because Jesus isn't after some kind of looks. The Amish, you know, they tried that, to look like Christians. You know, they wore black coats, I think, without buttons or something. Or maybe they got buttons, I forget what they couldn't do. But, you know, you can't look like a saint. You know, what do saints look like? You know? So, I tell you, if you're a saint, that's all there's to it. You just be a saint on the inside. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. You have to believe this by faith. In other words, I believe that before God right now, I am pure, but I don't look like it. If I ask my wife, if I ask my neighbors, and so on, they wouldn't agree. So I'm not going to ask them. I'm going to ask Jesus. And he's already told me. He said it like this. He said, now don't ask me again. He said, I told you once, you are beautiful to me. And I said, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. Is that enough for you? Do you have to be reassured day after day? I tell you, God has said it. I just remind myself. I just go back and he wrote it down. I am beautiful. I am beautiful to God. God says, I will look pure later. I'll get a new body later. So I'm not even going to bother to see what I look like or what other people think I look like. It doth not yet appear. So if you say you're a son of God, the devil's going to come along and say, I don't see how you could be a son of God. You don't have, and then he'll mention something missing. Now, if I were you and you said, I am a son of God, and the devil came along and said, how could you be? Because I would listen to what he said, and then I would thank him. I would say, thank you for pointing that out, but you're wrong. You're wrong. But nonetheless, I'm glad you pointed that out. I'll take that to Jesus. I'll ask him about that. Sometimes the devil points out things in my life, and he just does a service to me. Did you know that the devil works for God? He doesn't want to. But if he ever points out, if he sticks me over here, he doesn't mean to help me, but he helps me because my armor must have been missing there. Oh, thank you. I just thank him, and I go and put my armor on. You see what I mean? I mean, sometimes I ask God, and he'll tell me, your armor's off. But sometimes I'm dull of hearing, so the devil has to stick me there. Ooh, I guess God was trying to tell me something this morning. I didn't listen. Ooh, so then I just thank the devil. Thank you for showing me that. I'll take that to Jesus. And whatever the devil says to you, I always ask Jesus. I never take his word for it. I don't listen to flesh. I don't listen to the devil. I don't listen to anyone. If someone would come to me in the church and they would say, you had a wrong spirit, I would say, thank you. I'll take that to Jesus and I'll ask him. Well, God told me you had a wrong spirit. Well, thank you. But I'll take it to Jesus, because God has to tell each person himself. If I as pastor tell you something and you have not heard it from God yourself, then do not listen. If I as pastor tell you something and you have not heard it yourself, then do not listen. You must hear for yourself. If God isn't big enough, if God's big enough to talk through me, he can talk to you, right? Now, it's wise, though, on your part, that if someone brings you a word, to go and ask Jesus about that. Say, Jesus, now, I don't think this person's very spiritual, but nonetheless, they said this. What do you say? And then let God tell you. So God has spoken many times to people that weren't spiritual to me. I thought, well, that person's not very spiritual. But I went home, and God told me what they said was of him. Even though their motive may have been wrong, and, you know, what they were after may have been wrong, God uses all kinds of tools, because it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. So I say, I'm a son of God. People can come along and say, well, you don't look like one, or you don't act like one, or something like that. That may all be true. Nonetheless, I'm a son of God. And if I'll focus on that, and I'll believe on that, no one can take that from me. That's one thing you cannot have from me. Is I believe God has called me a son of God. Amen? Do you girls know that you're sons of God? Amen. No one can take that from you. Now, you might not act like one. Holly, have you always acted like a son of God? No. But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're not. Sometimes I think, you know, Carr and Kirsten don't act like sons of God. That doesn't mean they're not. God says they are. And you won't act like sons of God. There's no way. Don't even plan on it. You know, in fact, plan on not acting always perfectly. And you won't be disappointed then. I'm not going to be disappointed because I don't have a picture in my head that there's such a thing as a perfect people on the face of the earth, no matter how much we'll grow. I believe we'll always have new battles that'll be as big as the one yesterday. Hello? I don't think we're ever going to get rid of the battles. I think they're just as hard from day one as they are from day 100. Now, here's the only gain we make on the devil. We do learn his tricks better and better and better. We're not ignorant of his designs. And we can more quickly get the battle won. But the battle is just as difficult. I tell you, the devil can throw you on pride as much day one as on day 100 or year 100. Amen? Don't ever think you're growing to such an extent that the devil can't get to you or the flesh won't take you down. Robert, haven't you experienced that too?
That's true.
It's true. I pay Robert to say that. That's good. I do the same thing at his meetings. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Homoioi. We shall be just like him. Just the same. Homogenized. Hoim. It means to be exactly like him. When Jesus appears, you will see something happen quickly, my body, like this, at the sound of the trump, boom, just that quickly, my body will change into his likeness. Now, the body's going to agree with the soul because my soul doesn't look good right now, but it is good because of my heart. Therefore, on the day of Jesus Christ, when he appears, my eyes are going to be brand new. Just the minute I look at him, my old eyes are going to fall away, scales are going to fall off, I'm going to have new eyes, new body, just that quickly, boom. And I'm going to have a perfect soul, perfect spirit, perfect body, but right now I believe it, even though I don't see it. And as long as I go through this life, there'll be occasions to doubt that, but I'm not going to doubt. I believe that God has chosen me for an eternal life to start right here and now. That's why I can love you. I do not love you because you're lovable. I do not love you because you're lovable. That would be eros love. That would be philia love. But that would not be agape love. Agape love has nothing to do with the object. It has only to do with its your nature. You can't help it. A lamb is a lamb is a lamb is a lamb. It just can't help. It can't be a wolf. You ever heard a lamb go, grrr, you know? They just can't do it. And they can't, you know, show their teeth, you know? Lambs are lambs. Wolves are wolves. Now, it is true that you sometimes look like wolves and sometimes act like wolves. Nevertheless, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Encourage yourself that though you growl like a wolf and devour one another sometimes with criticism and so on, that you are a lamb. If you'll dwell on that before God, God will do the work and change you into the likeness of his son. Now, if you look at your wolfness, then you will become a wolf because you'll start criticizing yourself and trying to shape up and so on. It won't work. So just relax and just say, though I look like a wolf, I'm not a wolf, I'm a lamb. I love God. And as you start speaking this truth, it'll change you. I love God. I love my sister. I love my brother. But you know what happens usually when we sin? We go like this. Well, I just don't like so-and-so. Maybe it's a sin, but I don't like them. I know I should be better. Now, all this talk is silly talk. I know I should be better. No, that's not true. Here's truth talk. I don't feel like I like so-and-so, but actually, I love them. That's truth talk. Did you hear that? There's a difference there. And that will change your life. I love them with all my heart. All of it. All of it. All of it. You know, but you see, it's harder to be mad on all of it. I mean, eventually, that truth is going to set you free. When I say, I really do love so-and-so, pretty soon I say it and it no longer is just saying, it's actually feeling. I find that when I say the truth, it changes my life. I find that when I say the words, the mountain is removed. I find that just speaking makes a difference because I believe it. Now, you have to believe it. You can't do this as a trick. But I really believe that I love everybody. But there are times when I don't feel like loving everybody. There's times when I feel mad. There's times when I feel like, you know, something negative. But I just say to myself in that moment, that's not true. Everything's going fine. Everything is wonderful. There's times when I feel discouraged, you know. And then in that moment, I just say, even though I feel discouraged, I'm not. You know, I just start to tell myself, to preach to myself, and I build myself up in the most holy word, and my faith increases, my knowledge of God grows, God comes in, reveals himself because of my praise, because of the talk, and a change takes place. And then I feel what I've just said. Now let's just say that. I love everybody in this room.
I love everybody in this room.
Even the scoundrels.
Even the scoundrels.
Even those that aren't scoundrels.
But acts like scoundrels.
I love them with all my heart.
I love enemies
and friends alike. Just give me an enemy. I wish I had a few.
I would love them
to death until they died and were born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now you can do that. You know, don't ever take a negative thought about someone. You know, if you just look around, I'm sure sin will come into your mind. Just look around at people, and I'm sure just all of a sudden you'll say, why is she wearing that dress? You know, she looks awful in pink, you know, and so on. You know, just some awful thought will come in. Now, don't say you're so spiritual that never happens. Of course that happens. But you can immediately check that and correct that and say, isn't she lovely? Even though you don't feel it. Now, most people, they feel like they're hypocrites when they do that. Oh, I don't want to be a hypocrite, you know. I need to own up to that awful thought, you know. Nah, just, you're a hypocrite if you don't say the truth, because you're a Christian. So then say, she's lovely, even though you don't feel it. Oh, she's lovely. Oh, he's handsome. Oh, I just love to hear my brother talk. You know, instead of saying, oh no, not them again, you know. You know, that's a negative thought. That comes from hell. That's a bad report. Give a good report. Just say, oh, I'm so glad to be here. Let's say that. Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I believe this is the happiest day of my life. And so it is. Oh, I'm happy. See, now doesn't that make a difference? Doesn't? That should make a difference. I tell you, there's nothing keeping you from walking in victory all the time, is there? Because you're a son of God. You're a technon theou. You have been born of God, born of the Spirit. And even though it doth not yet appear, yet, even now, you're really nun, now, a son of God. And God calls you that, therefore you better agree with God. Confess with God. Say the same thing as God says. All right? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, right now, we are not like him in every way. We are like him in our heart, but we are not like him in our soul, but we are being made like him. But someday, and even if you would grow to be as great as your pastor, you would still not be perfectly like him. You would still have something missing. You would have something missing. That missing is the body. In this life, no matter how much you grow, you will never get that renewed. So you still wouldn't be like him, even if you could be like him in every other way, which you can't be, but even if you could be. All right. And everyone that hath this hope, Elpida, this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. Now, this hope that we have in ourselves, what is that hope? The hope is that God has said of me, I'm a son of God, and that he now lives in me to produce that new life. That's my hope. I hope, now hope is always future. I hope, not just wish, but I know for sure. I hope that what I am now, but I don't yet look like, I will look like later. That's hope. Now faith says, I am now. It doesn't look for hope. Faith doesn't worry about the future. Faith just takes everything and makes it now. Faith is now. Faith will not be in the future. You know that. Faith doesn't make it into heaven. Faith is now. Faith says, I'm a son of God now. Hope says, I'll look like one later. Faith and hope agree. And faith doesn't deny hope. Faith, in fact, bases itself on hope and says, I am one now and I'll look like one later. That's my hope. I will actually appear to be what I am in fact. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifies himself as he is pure. So if you want to be pure, What do you do? Do you pray? No. Do you discipline yourself? Get up earlier? No. What do you do to be pure? What do you do to be pure? Hope. That is, behold the face of Jesus, which is your hope. Just look at Jesus, and that will change you. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your sin. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look around you. Just look at Jesus. That will change you. You want to change? It's so easy. The easiest thing in the world is to change as a Christian. What do you have to do? Look away. Look to. Just look at God and keep that hope in you that what you appear to be is not what you are. Isn't that a wonderful hope? Oh, what I appear to be is not what I am. Now, most Christians, they don't like that. They would like to appear to be better than they are. How many here are not satisfied with where you are? See? That means you don't have this hope. Because this hope says, even though it doth not yet appear, you are, be satisfied today. You can be happy today, messed up. I was happy for 3 years, messed up. I used to think that was just because I was retarded. And my wife thought that. I'm really coming to believe that that was no accident. I'm coming to believe that those who don't get the peace of God in the beginning have to pay for it later. And that it was well worth it to wait for 3 years when I did not look like anything goodly or godly, and God alone sustained me by saying, "You are a son of God," and I had nothing going. I had to believe against all appearances that I was a son of God when I didn't look like one, act like one, think like one, or anything, except in this regard, that I had that hope and I wouldn't let go of it. I had to fight that like incredibly, because I knew Peggy was right. I knew others were right. I knew I did not look like or act like a Christian. I knew that. I knew I looked just exactly like I did when I was a pagan, except there's one difference. I now had this Elpida. I had this hope. I hoped in God. I said, "Honey, even though I don't look good, I believe God will do everything he said." Now, those look so cheap. And I knew they did. I knew that they looked cheap. But I clung to that and I said, "God will do it." Now, if you try to get me to do it, because people wanted me to look good, it's just natural. Because they didn't want to look good themselves and they'd get you to look good. You see, it's a big distraction. Hello. The reason we get excited about other people growing is not because we've had such growth and we want them to have such growth. It's because we want them to grow so we can take our eyes off ourselves. Hello? I want to make sure I'm talking to the right group. You know, people get anxious about someone else's growth. Well, let God take care of someone else's growth. You just exhibit all the fruit you've got. Why worry about their lack of growth? Just if you've got so much growth, just exhibit your fruit. Stop judging and criticizing and being critical. You know, it doesn't matter to me whether you ever grow. Do you believe that? How many believe that it really doesn't matter to me if you ever grow? Do you believe that? I'm laid back on that. I go home and just giggle, laugh. If anything ever happens in this church, it's purely a miracle. It's purely a miracle. It's true. It's an absolute miracle. I'm not saying that jokingly. That is an absolute miracle. I don't have any confidence in myself, in my ability to manipulate or motivate people or, you know, inspire and so on and so forth. Now, some people say, "Oh, you're a motivator." Other people say you're not. But that means nothing to me because it's not part of the Christian work. Motivation is not one of the Christian virtues. Inspiration. The Holy Spirit does all the motivating. He does all the inspiring. The Holy Spirit is the only one that motivates or inspires, right? It says the Holy Spirit convicts. He's the one that motivates, that moves us, that makes us go. So if anything happens, it's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. In fact, when I see the negative coming, I get more excited than when I see the positive. When I see the positive, I know there's going to be some negative. When I see the negative, I know there's going to be some positive. Do you understand? In other words, if somebody begins to grow, then I'm cautious because I say, you know, they're going to get headstrong or they're going to go overboard like I did. You know, and I'm not going to stop them either. I'm just going to let them do it because I got away with it. I got to grow on my own. Well, if you make a mistake, we're just going to watch you. If you blow it, we're just going to watch you. Now, if it's real terrible, you know, we'll say something. But basically, you've got to make your own mistakes and learn for yourself. Isn't that exciting? No, it's not exciting at all. is not exciting if you want to manipulate people and make them shape up. But if you believe in God and you know you have no power to manipulate one person, unless God doeth a thing, it can't be done. Unless God build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. I believe God can build a house. I believe just by being faithful to the word God has given me, that God will do the rest. Do you believe that? Amen. That better be true in your own life. That's the hope you must have. If you believe in that hope, it'll purify you. That will keep you pure. I believe for 3 years, I didn't change. For 3 years, I just purified myself on the inside, and it didn't show up. And then suddenly it began to show up. That was a wonderful day when all of a sudden I began to look like what I was supposed to be. You know, and that's great. It was exciting. Even to me, it was exciting. But I had the victory beforehand. I had utter peace beforehand that God loved me just as I am without one plea. And you need to have that. If you would completely blow it, would you still believe you were a son of God? Amen. Do you have that peace? Well, you better, because you will blow it. You will blow it. You can't just go on and on and on and on and on. You're going to go on and fall down, and then you're going to be inconsistent all over the place. And that's natural. That's natural. That should be, it doth not yet appear. It doth not yet appear. So, but yet we are sons of God. And if you'll focus on that and abide in that, then this is what will happen. Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth, I don't know why God wrote in the King James English. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth against the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested, revealed, to take away our sins. That word in the original language, take away, just means to bear or to carry away. And in him is no sin. Jesus never sinned. He never sinned. Whosoever abideth in him, liveth in him, remaineth in him, sinneth not. You can't sin. Whosoever sinneth not, oh no, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him nor known him. Now, if you sin, you haven't seen or known God. Every time you sin, you've taken your eyes off of God. Can you see that? Every time you sin, you've gotten under a lie. Every time you sin, you've taken your eyes off of God. You don't know him. Every time you commit an act of sin. What this is saying is, that's not a problem, because that's just an act of sin. But don't stay in it. Just quickly put your eyes back on the Lord and say, Lord, I forgot for a moment. I looked away. I sinned. Now I'm looking back to you, and I have this hope in me that you'll forgive me. And I have this faith in you that I am already forgiven. Therefore, I accept my forgiveness. Thank you. Amen. And I accept the fact that your righteousness is now in me, and I have overcome that sin. Thank you. Amen. Is that how you pray? I know most of you don't pray that way. That's how you need to pray. Not only forgive me for the sin, but thank you for living in me, and I've overcome the sin right now. That's the end of that sin. Do you pray that way? You see what war that'll bring? Thank you, Lord, right now that I'm completely happy, and all your emotions are, you know, fighting you. But just throw them off. Just say, no, I am happy. I'm completely happy. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm not critical of Pastor right now. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm completely, and so on. Can you do that? Isn't that exciting? That's freedom. This is what the Bible is all about. I don't care if Christians know it or not. It's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is all about that new life that God has given you. The blood forgives, but the Spirit, the presence of God, changes. The blood forgives, but the Spirit of God does the changing. You've got a new heart by the blood, but you've got a new soul by the presence of God, by the Spirit of God. That's where the indwelling lordship begins to take place. You must cooperate with God. This does not happen magically. There's no magic here. If you say, I am a son of God, that's fine. But that won't make you look like one. What will make you look like one? Seeing and knowing. Seeing and knowing. That's what makes you look like one. That's something you can do. Is you can begin to say, I am a son of God. Begin to repeat it. Begin to rehearse it. Begin to say no to the sins. Begin to confess the sins and confess the righteousness, and God will change your life. That's how you do it. And then you will see what you believed in. Then it won't be hope anymore. You won't even hope in that. You know, when I first became a Christian, I had the hope that someday Peggy would notice. But at first I just believed. I mean, I just believed it. I just believed it. And I said, honey, you just have to believe that I'm a Christian. She said, good luck. You know, no, she didn't say that. But that's what she meant, was I don't. I don't know whether you're a Christian or not, but you don't look like one. When you look like one, then I'll believe. Well, that was proper. That was proper to do. She had a right to say that. But then one day it was no longer hope. It became realized. And I actually looked like one. And she said, I'm beginning to think thou art a Christian. You know? And she was right. I was. But I was one before I looked like one. And you'll have to go through the same thing. There are times when you're going to look like just the opposite. Can you bear that? When things are going opposite you, can you still cling to your faith? Or do you lose faith when things don't look good? When things go against you, do you lose faith or do you get more stronger? I'll tell you, when things go against, I get more strong. I dance stronger. It's like Luther said, when I have a bad day, when I have a good day, I get up and pray for 3 or 4 hours. When I have a bad day, I get up for 6 hours. You know, when I have a real busy day, you go even stronger then. And that's the way it is in the spirit world. You know, when things look the worst, that's when I rejoice the greatest. When I don't feel like worshiping, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hello, hi, God. It's me again. You know, if I felt that way, then I would praise, you can sometimes see me if you ever watch my face. Sometimes I'm just there praising and so on and so forth, and I know I don't feel it. And all of a sudden I start laughing. I start giggling to myself. I don't do it on purpose out loud, but sometimes it just breaks out like that. And then I just really get excited because it's by faith. And what happens right there is an insight comes to me, a revelation, that God is pleased with me. Because in a moment there I thought, oh, I can't even drum it up this morning. You know, you feel yourself kind of cranking it out. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, and you know, I just, come on, Bill, play a little jazzy or something. You know, get me up a little bit. And, you know, it isn't working, you know. It's not working. The program isn't happening. Well, then it's up to me. I don't have to wait for Bill to play it or, you know, Paul on the organ or something. I can just do it myself. And this insight comes to me because I'm born again. This insight comes, God is pleased with you. All of a sudden, ooh, as miserable as I am, I put those two together and boom, there's a laughter that comes out of me and I realize I'm free and suddenly it comes out. Now it's not by faith, now it's an experience. I just begin worshiping the Lord. Really getting, do you do that? How many do that? So know that I'm not alone. When you, at your worst, that's when you can step out in faith and say, I please you. I love to do it because the devil comes along and says, you're not looking like a Christian, you know, something like that. And that's when I say to him, the strongest, oh, yes, I am. And even if I would continue this whole service with my face down and my voice low, God would love me anyway, you know, like that. That I really do that. I don't do the last part, but I do the other part. I really do that because I know that I'm pleasing to God. And even if I should continue in that way, I defy the devil and all his hosts because he knows nothing. He's a liar. He's a bluff. He's a cheat and a steal. And I know that he can't take it from me. What God has said is, I am a child of God now, even though it doth not yet appear. And he says that if I abide in him, I won't sin. You know, I have experienced that for all these years. I have not continued in sin. Now, there is a sin right now that I'm working on, but I haven't overcome it yet. And it's been a long one. It's a tough one. And I don't want to tell it to you because it would embarrass me, and then I might have to get rid of it. But there is one sin right now that I'm having difficulty in, and I make little forays on it all the time, but I know what the problem is. I don't have my eyes on Jesus. In this area, it's hard for me to believe I'll ever be good in this area. I don't have any hope there, you know? I have a lack of faith. Now, I know what the Word says, but it's real hard for me to get hope there. So my hope is really almost hopeless hope, but it's got a little bit of hope in it. I mean, it's really hanging on by a bare thread, but it's there. And I declare to you that that sin will be removed. Ooh. And I'm not going to tell you because then you'll get on me all the time for, you'll ask me, you know. So, but I believe that every sin must go. And sooner or later, that sin will go also. Yeah, and there'll be another one. You know, I've discovered that every time you get rid of a sin, there happens to be another one that you didn't see the day before or didn't notice. Nonetheless, I know I've grown. Nonetheless, I know that God is working mightily in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. And in due season, it isn't Jim that will get stronger. It's Jesus that will exhibit himself to me, and he will get all the glory. So whether you judge me or not is immaterial. It's just I don't want you to know about it. But that's not what counts. What counts is that God doth not judge. God has said of me, thou art my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. And that's the only thing that will make me grow. Otherwise, I feel a little bit bad about this particular sin. and I don't want to kind of bring it out in the light. I don't mention it to God too many times. I don't like to bring it up, you know, because he might talk to me about it. So I kind of ignore the subject and stick on my good points. Hello. You know, but he's bringing that to mind right now. I have a feeling I'm not going to get away, you know, so easily next time. But God wants me to be pure, and once I see it, I'll say to myself, oh, why did I hang on to that lie? But right now, it looks to me good. You know, it looks like, what's wrong with this, God, you know? I mean, I have a lot of good reasons why I think this sin's okay. Well, I know it's not, but, you know, like that. But it says right here, whoever abideth in him sinneth not. So I'm not abiding in God in that area. But I know he will get that sin sooner or later. Who will get that sin? Unless I abide in God, my love will not come to you. And therefore, this sin, this is the biggest sin about that sin, is that I'm not loving you as I should. Even though it has nothing directly to do with you, indirectly it does. Because every sin indirectly affects the love of the body of Christ. And that's how I love God. We love because he first loved us. And God has given us this commandment that we love one another. And I know I love you to a great extent. But I know there's more. And God wants me to love you perfectly. And I just declare to you that I commit myself. I have this hope that you will see and experience my complete love as far as I'm able. I commit that self to you. You also can make that commitment. Let's make that right now. Let's just stand. We'll close right here. Father God, I praise you for this day, that I am called a son of God, a child of God. No one can take that from me. No one will. I thank you, Lord God. My faith is strong. My hope is strong. I hope to see, even in this life, a great outpouring of your love through me to the brothers and sisters. This church and other churches are going to experience my love, that is, your love through me in a great measure. People will know that I am your child. That is my hope. I have a greater hope, not related to this world, that what I accomplish here is but the beginning. The love that begins now will not end, but will endure eternally. That is my hope, that I will abide forever in love. You are love. Therefore, I will abide in you. No one can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's my hope. That's my faith. I will see it in this life and in the age to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Guy? Amen.